I'm starting to say that there's a self, a small s self, a personal self. And there's a self that we usually write with a capital S, which corresponds to the self that's spoken of in the Hindu tradition as the Atman, or some inner aspect of the divine. It's the experience of the divine as immanent, as, in other words, as something that we can possibly experience in our own consciousness. That's the meaning of immanent, present somehow. And then most of the traditions postulate that there is what is variously known as a Godhead, or the grounded being, which is the transcendent self, which is beyond categories, beyond words, and beyond thought. Okay? So we have a transcendent self, which is unknowable. It's somehow just the immensity of being that, by which nothing can be said. The Godhead. Okay? Occasionally, this transcendent self, which is unknowable, is experienced by the individual imminently, and that would be what we would call God, okay? Or the experience of the divine. And then we have a personal self which does all the experiencing, okay? So that's the first model. Is that clear? The transcendent self is something that, by definition, nothing can be said about.
This one that's in between those two.
Yeah, the immanent self.
Immanent. How does it? Would you tell us how that's different?
Yeah,
from the
it's experienceable. It's this is Jung's self, all right.
The capital S self.
Yeah. The point about that is that it's potentially experienceable in archetypal, what we call archetypal experience. Are there people here who are not familiar with Jung? Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there are some. Sorry. If I say something that sounds technical or incomprehensible, please stop me. Okay. This could be hash, it doesn't have to be roast beef. Yes?
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your small-ass self.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a lot of time on that. So whatever aspect of the divine can be experienced is by definition immanent. It's obvious that the whole of the divine, so to speak, the Godhead, cannot be experienced. That's just axiomatic. So what Jung calls the self with a big S, or anything which is archetypal, is some aspect of the immanent self, or of some aspect of divinity which our psyche can understand or experience. So another way of diagramming this, another way of talking about what the problem is that if you can imagine, now this is going to be a spatial metaphor which will only have a limited validity. It's the only way one can talk about these things is through metaphor, and they have to have an as-if quality, because it's impossible to be categorical about this material. One can only, and if you say anything other than a metaphor, you're obviously not being true to the experience, because this is essentially unknowable. But all the traditions postulate a realm which is sometimes called the Godhead, and sometimes it's called the Pleroma, and sometimes it's called the Bardo, okay? And in Jungian psychology, it's called the psychoid realm. Psychoid, are you familiar with this term, psychoid? It's not psychic, and it's not material. It's a place, well, it's not really a place, but it's a place where there's no separation between matter and spirit. It's a hypothetical concept, and it corresponds to the notion of some realm where nothing is divided. That's the realm of the psychoid. In the Tibetan book of the Tibetan tradition calls it the Bardo. You get the idea? So this is really unknowable and beyond categories.
It was your first and large.
That was the first, that was the very, the big one that has no boundaries. Okay. Now, this line represents the beginning of history, and time and space as we understand it here. This line. Okay, this is obviously strictly metaphorical. And all we can postulate about this realm of the Godhead is that things are undivided. Things are just some kind of unknowable oneness. Even the word one is a mistake in this realm, because obviously the divinity at that level would be beyond number, so that the word one would have no meaning. One would already be have all kinds of philosophical problems attached to it. So it's has nothing to do with number or time or space. But it's clear that at some point this experience of the divine comes into history or time and space as we know it. So, and it seems that as it comes into history in time and space, it starts to split up into things like matter and spirit, or masculine and feminine, or things that we experience as being opposite and separate, but which presumably, where they originate, are just in some kind of essential non-split condition. Okay, the words really don't, this is all nonsense, actually. but in other words, we experience these things, like we know that matter and spirit are somehow different, because we categorize experience that way. But presumably, I'm talking about the fact that there's some realm beyond experience, beyond our own experience. Now, at some point, this is a continuing the metaphor. At some level, there is a human consciousness. Okay. Now, in Jungian psychology, we use the term ego to mean human consciousness. That's a somewhat different usage of the term than in other psychological systems, if there are any Freudian people here. Or classical psychoanalytic theory uses the term ego to mean a set of mental operations, the capacity to think, the capacity to walk around, the capacity to remember, the capacity to calculate, and all those kind of things, to defend oneself, are all operations. Okay, it's clearly not a noun, it's not a thing, it's a verb, it's a set of processes. Now, Jung doesn't quite use it that way, and there are problems with using it that way that I'll talk about. The problem, very briefly, is that these sets of processes, like thinking and feeling and walking around, get personified. So the way people talk about it is as if there was a little man inside your head, you know. And then eventually, the ego, which was originally a set of operations, gets to mean the person. Okay, it sort of stands for the person. So I feel with many people that if we're going to talk about the person, we may as well just talk about the person or the self and not make up any fancy words. So a lot of us don't like the use of the term ego for that reason. We just talk about the person or the self, because the self is much more than the ego. It's much more than a set of operations.